You know, it's good to be with the house, be with the saints again in the house of the Lord. And we just give all glory for this privilege and this opportunity that the Lord has prevailed us on this Lord's Day morning. Open your Bible, the book of Proverbs. We're going to share a scripture with you right quick. Proverbs 22 and 6. If you have Proverbs 22 and 6, denote Ecclesiastic 12 in verse number 1. In relationship to what we sow, we shall reap. In relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Indeed, I concur. God's blessing upon us at this congregation. To have these young men to be the church of tomorrow. To get up and stand on God's word. Amen. That's what Birmingham need. They need young men, young women that will stand up and go back to God's word. Amen. And in Proverbs 23 and 6, parents, I want you to listen from God's word. He says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Go to Ecclesiastic chapter 12, verse 1. We have another warning from God's word. When God speaks, we need to listen. Amen. And go back to the book and raise your children, not by Dr. Spock, but by Dr. Jesus. Amen. Ecclesiastic 12, verse number 1. He said, remember now, your Creator, in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, and drop all the way down to verse number 13, when he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. To fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it is evil. So let us listen to God's word as we strive to do his holy and divine will. And guess what, brethren? To God, we just give all the glory. Amen. It's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's because of God's glory. But we give credit to his parents and all of you and us working together as one. Amen. As we strive to do God's holy and God's will. I want you to open your Bible today, the book of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to continue our study on what is acceptable worship, John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is 1 Corinthians 11. When the whole church come together in one place, we come for a specified purpose. That purpose is to be able to, John 4:24, worship God in spirit and in truth. That is to give him all the glory, all the praise, to literally prostrate down before him, to worship him, to adore him, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, because he is God, amen. And that's the reason why we give all glory and all praise to our Heavenly Father. We have been studying so far music while we're here. Do not use instrumental music in our worship service. We talked about Ephesians 5:19. We sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. Why? We teach and admonish one another when the whole church come together in one place. By singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, we teach and admonish one another. 1 Corinthians 14:15. We sing with the Spirit and we sing with the understanding. What is that Spirit? That is that to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. That is the words that we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. We have understanding. Amen. Based on the Spirit. And then James 5:13 says, when you do that, it brings joy. Because if you love God, you will keep his commandments. Amen. And then we talked about the Lord's Supper. Acts 20:7. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. And we told you about three things that we do. We memorialize the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Brother Terry talked about Acts 20:28. How Jesus' blood that he shed, what did it do? It purchased the church of Christ. Amen. It purchased that church that he promised that he was going to build. When he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So every first day of the week we come and we memorialize that. We commemorate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And by the way, that was the gospel is, 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Because if Jesus never died on the cross, brethren, we could not have truth. Amen. Then we proclaim our faith. And then we commune together, and we talked about that word meaning that we come together every first day of the week in one place, the whole church, to participate. That is to encourage one another, amen. What we encourage this morning, amen. This is a blessing, amen. Don't you take it for lightly, amen. Because he could be doing something else, amen. Am I right? He could be doing something else. Amen. And I'm so proud of him, and not only him, but Trevon and Andrew and Xavier and all our young men. Amen. And sooner or later, you got to start encouraging Barry. Amen. Right now, he don't understand, but we got to start encouraging right now by putting something on him. Amen. Spare the rod to spoil the child. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in. Amen. That is, if we're going to be able to worship God and commune with God, it's to be able to be here this morning, amen. It's not because we've been so good, amen. It's called God's amazing grace, amen. They allowed us to come together, to assemble together on the first day of the week. When the whole church in one place, that is, and we give as we prosper. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. We lay by in store as we prosper. We don't tithe. We talked about that. We went to the Old Testament and talked about how Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, and we talked about tithing of the Old Testament. But Colossians 2 said all that been nailed to the cross. Amen. Galatians 3 said it was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ Jesus. But on the first day of the week, what we do, we lay by in store as God prosper him. Amen. Not out of necessity, not out grudgingly, but we give because we love the Lord. Amen. Guess what? God don't need our money. Amen. God got the whole wide world in his hand. Amen. But we give back to him because we love the church. Amen. We love to be able to go out into the community and save souls. Amen. Because that's the work of the church, Ephesians 4:12. Number one, save souls. And number two, benevolence for the saints. And number three, to edify the body. Amen. That's what we're doing right now. We've been fed today. Amen. We've been fed, and guess what? We're going to be fed all day as we come together to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. So I don't know about y'all, but that's enough to make the church say amen, amen, as we come together to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. So let's look at another part of our worship service. We already talked about giving. We already talked about the Lord's Supper. We already talked about singing. That is, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's the reason why when you come here, you don't see no choirs, you don't see no groups, you don't see no praise teams, because guess what? We all praising, teaming together, amen, as we sing with the spirit and sing with the understanding as we make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And if you know any other way than that way that we can find in the Bible, I'm going to stop right now and let you tell me what that way may be. Amen. I told you why we do it. Amen. And the Bible said, prove all things and the whole fast of that which is good. Amen. He said, test the spirit to see whether it be from God. 1 John 4:1. Amen. And if you believe it, you should be able to prove it and test it. Because guess what? John 12:48 says, you're going to be judged by it in the last days. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed to me and wants to die. And after that cometh the judgment. And because of that, brethren, because of that, if you can't prove it and you can't test it, brethren, you may have problems on Judgment Day. So that's the reason why we are a church that is an investigative church, that we prove all things. And guess what? We are apostolic doctrine, amen, because we do it based on what the apostles did. Am I right? He told the apostles in Luke 24 to go out into Jerusalem and tarry till they be endued with power from on high. And they were there. They were baptized with the miraculous and dwelling of the Holy Spirit, Mark 16:20, to confirm the word, amen. And because that, guess what? James 1:25, we got the perfect law of liberty, amen. And I'm glad about it. So let's get started. My time is limited today, but I'm going to finish when I get through, okay? So just keep that in mind. I'm going to finish when I get through with God's word, amen. And if you're here with the right reason, amen, I know there are circumstances when you may have to go, but if you're here for the right reason, amen, just picture yourself. It is at the final four, and I'm getting ready to go dribble. Can you imagine me dribbling to have a layup, amen? And we're going to lay up on Jesus, amen. Let's go to God's word. That didn't make no sense. But let's go to God's word this morning, if we can, as we prove all things. Because ain't no way in the world I'm going to be at no final four. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to lay up nothing at this present time. Remember the Lord in the days of your youth. And youth don't pass me. So, but it's still good for me to be here this morning. Amen. So let's go ahead and begin our study together this morning. Amen. On what? Why do we pray in worship? Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. And by the way, if you like to have these slides, if you like to have copies of them, I can email them to you. Just give me your email address. A lot of you already do. Okay, if you like to have all of them, please see me. We got CDs that are free. And you can get one. You go to our website and begin to download some of these also. But let's go to Matthew chapter 6. All right, if you have Matthew chapter 6, you might want to cross-reference Luke 11:1. Luke 11 and verse number 1. Matthew chapter 6 and beginning in verse number 9. All right, if you have Luke 6:9, you might want to cross-reference Luke 11:1. That is, why do we pray in worship? Well, look at the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to achieve fellowship with God. That is, to achieve fellowship with God. Because we are heirs of God, Romans 8:16-17. Amen. Because John 1 said, Jesus is the light, we are the light. Amen. By us being members of the body of Christ, we fellowship with God. That is, that we have a right to pray because we are God's children. Amen. To express thanksgiving for past and future blessings, amen. Just to be thankful, amen. Your old folks used to say, count your many blessings, amen. See what God has done. Name them one by one, amen. I tell us all the time, we are blessed and we don't even know it, amen. We are blessed and we don't even appreciate sometimes the blessings that we have, amen. We serve a good God, amen. So sometimes we just need to pray and thank God for our blessings, whether it may be past or future, to request God continued blessing. That is, that we can see one for another. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray ye one for another. Amen. Quint Jr., we're going to continue to pray for you. Amen. We're going to continue to pray for you that you may continue to grow and be what God would want you to be. And not only you, but y'all pray for me, don't you? Amen. Brother Sean, thank you for that prayer. He said, Lord, please give my dad long life and long health, good health, amen. And I appreciate that, amen. I need it sometime, amen. But we can intercede one for another. The model prayer. Christ gave his disciples a model prayer. And that's where it's found in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 through 13. Now, a lot of you may say, well, this is the Lord's prayer. It's not the Lord's prayer. This is the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when they came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray as John has taught his disciples how to pray. Now, you might want to note John 17 will be the model prayer or the Lord's prayer because that's the prayer that Jesus prayed the night before he died. But in Matthew 6 and 9, I want to begin reading. It said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Underline that phrase, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So let's look at this thing here in relationship to Luke 11, 1. That is, the disciples came to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And we are told in Matthew 6, 7, that we should not use vain or repetition. We are told in Matthew 6, 5 through 6, that we are not to pray in order to be seen of men. But let's look at this model of prayer in two phases. Number one, the phase is contain three petitions containing heavenly things and containing earthly things. Let's look at the first three. He said, number one, hallowed be thy name. You know that word hallowed means? Do you know when you pray who you are talking to? That the name of God is sacred, it is sanctified, it is holy, amen. And when you approach that throne of grace and mercy, that's the way you need to see the name of Jesus, is that that name is holla by your name, because you are God, amen. You are God, amen. And then number two, he prayed for thy kingdom to come. Now look at the language that he's using here. He prayed that thy kingdom would come. He prayed that thy church would come. Because in Matthew 16, he used the word church and kingdom interchangeable. That is, to be in the church, you're in the kingdom. So he prayed for that church to come, and come, but he prayed for it to come, which is future tense. And then he said, that thy will be done. Let me drop this off to you. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, when God gave that one command, of this garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. The day that you eat it thereof, you will surely die. In chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, when they sinned against God, at that point, sin separated them from God. So what God had to do in Genesis 3:15, he makes a promise. He says, I'm going to send my son back down here through the seed of a woman in order to redeem mankind for the sins of the world. Well, how was he going to do that? He was going to do it through the ecclesia, the called out body, the church. Jesus came on this earth to build his church, amen, that thy kingdom will come and thy will be done on earth, see, in relationship to his will being done. Go in the book of Matthew 16. I want to show it to you right quick. Matthew 16. Because in the book of Matthew 16, and the reason why I'm spending some time on that, because see, why would anybody build another church when Jesus built the church? Amen. Well, isn't Jesus' church good enough? If he cared enough that he prayed for thy kingdom to come, that thy will be done on earth. Now, this is what Jesus prayed for, amen. That thy kingdom come and thy will be done, because hallowed be his name. So when you go to Matthew 16 and begin reading in verse 13, I'm going to wait till you get there. I want you to see what Jesus come. Because see, if Jesus prayed for that church to come, Sister Joshua had to be important, amen. Amen, amen. That he would pray to his father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he says here in verse 13, he says, and when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. And they say, some say that I'm John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus said to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But look at verse 18. He said, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. My is a personal pronoun that shows ownership, amen? Like, these are my glasses, am I right? My church belongs to Christ. Amen. Amen. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now look at verse 19. He said, and I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom. Underline that word kingdom. See, that's the reason why he prayed for thy kingdom to come, because the kingdom and the church is the same thing. Amen. If you're in the church, you're in the kingdom. Amen. So if Christ took enough to pray that thy kingdom to come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, my brother, why do we need another church? Amen. He said in Acts 20:28 that the blood that Jesus shed, it purchased the church. Amen. It was a blood-bought church. If he promised that I will build my church, or he promised that thy kingdom come, thy will be done, you need to investigate what church you belong to. And if it can't be found in the Bible, or if it's a church that Jesus didn't promise that he would build, you need to get out of it and get in Christ's church. Amen. Hello? Hello? Am I right? Because this is what he prayed for. He prayed, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So I'm with my constituents, and they say, well, you bow your heads, let's pray. And they say, our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I don't pray that prayer. Why? Because we're already in the kingdom, amen. Why am I praying for something to come? It already don't came, amen. We're in the church, amen. We're in the kingdom, amen. Ephesians 1:20-23, Christ is the head of the church. Amen. Amen. He prayed for thy kingdom to come. Ain't got here yet, am I right? In Matthew 16:18, he's up on the rock. I will. That's future tense, right? Build my church. That's future tense, am I right? Am I right? Thy will be done, because that's the reason why he came. Now, he cared enough and loved you enough to do it. Why would you dishonor him by getting in somebody else's church? That's plain old disgraceful. Ungrateful. Not disgraceful. Amen. I remember one time I did a wedding, and they said, well, can we pray the Lord's Prayer? I said, well, go to John 17. And we started reading it. Oh, not that one. That's the only one I know of. The night before he died, that Thursday night, amen, he prayed to his heavenly Father to let this cup pass from me, and that we all may be one, that he is one in his Father. Amen. The human side came out of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And they said, oh, no, not that prayer. I said, what prayer are you talking about? And they said, our Father. I said, well, you can't pray that prayer. That's a vain prayer. That's a useless prayer. Amen. Because it's already done. Thy kingdom has come. Thy will has been done on earth as it is in heaven, because we're in the church of Christ. Amen. Don't say, don't get excited about it. I can't help but get excited about it. Amen. Because Jesus loved me enough to pray about it. Amen. I'm grateful. Amen. But I got to move on. He said, not only do he pray spiritual, he prayed physical. Give us this day our daily bread. Man, we need to be thankful. Whatever state you find yourself in, be content. We need to be thankful and quit complaining. We need to be thankful for God's many blessings. Amen. Be thankful what God do for you. Be thankful. We could have been a third world country. Or this morning, young people, brother, you could have had to tote 3 barrels of water before you did the Lord's Supper today. Amen. But God loved us enough. They blessed us with so many good things. Amen. John 10:10 said, I came that you may have life and that you have more abundantly. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation. What we've been studying about on Sunday morning. To learn how to forgive. Let the acts go. Forgive and forget. Amen. Jesus forgave you. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, amen. But we need to quit holding things over people's head in relationship to learning how to forgive, amen, in order for God's will to be done. Why? Because to lead us not into temptation, amen, in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Amen. And that's the reason why we pray. We pray. We learn how to pray. You need to learn how to pray. Because with prayer, you are useless, amen, in relationship to the benefit that we receive in relationship to the kingdom of God. Then the next thing we want to see, let's go to James 5. James 5:13. That is, Jesus taught us how to pray, all right? And there are five types of prayer that are mentioned in the book of James. James chapter 5 and verse 13. That is, there are five types of ways that we can pray. James chapter 5, 13, and I'll see what they may be. Number one, James 5:13 says this. James 5:13, he says, is any among you afflicted? And look what the Holy Spirit right here now. He said, let him, underline that word, him, pray. Is any Mary, let him, look what he says, y'all. See, he didn't say sing and play, did he? He didn't say play, did he? Y'all there?
Yes, sir.
What did he say do? Now, he said sing. Now, if we do things by command, example, or it's inferred, am I right? This is an example of how they did it. What did they do? They sing, they sung, psalms or hymns, the way it says here, that is psalms. So when you look at verse 13, first thing we need to understand that prayer is an individual prayer. Every one of us who call yourself Christian need to understand that we need to pray. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Hold your spot right there. I want to show you one verse. 2 Thessalonians 5. Hold your spot right there. 2 Thessalonians 5. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that first Thessalonians. Where that breath phrase? First Thessalonians 5:17. Yeah, First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 5. All right? He says here in verse 17, he said, pray without what? See, you pray without ceasing. That is, what he says here in James 5:13, is in among you afflicted, let him pray. Number one, you need to see that it's an individual. You got just as much right to pray than I pray. Amen. Amen. I don't have no more power to pray than you have to pray. A lot of times people get sick, they say, call the preacher. Then all of a sudden, call you. Amen. I ain't got no more power than you got. Amen. Am I right? You ever heard people say that? Well, we better call the preacher. Well, you can call me. But while you're calling me, you need to be praying too. Amen. Am I right? Because you got a right to pray. The Bible says pray without what? Ceasing. That's what Christians do. We pray. Why? Because we have that fellowship with God. Amen. He's our Father. Amen. We can say our Father. See, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Because he is our Father. Amen. Romans 8:16-17, we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. So we need to pray as individual Christians, and every Christian must learn how to pray. And don't you sit here and tell me you can't pray. Because you can talk. Am I right? Go to the bank and let somebody cheat you out of $5. You ain't going to say, I can't talk. You're going to say, you owe me $5. Am I right? Let your wife, when you go home and you saw cornbread on the stove and don't give you none, you're going to holler out, give me some cornbread. Amen?
Amen.
You can say what you want to say. So when you're talking to God, amen, it ain't got to be the D's and the Dows and all these things. Oh, my heavenly Father. Just talk to God like you talk to me. Amen. Am I right? You ain't praying to be seen. You ain't praying to say, oh, that brother Terry Hampton can pray. Well, he can pray. But don't you judge your prayer by his prayer. Right. Amen. That's an individual thing that we need to understand. Amen. Am I right? Because the Bible said pray without what? Then number two, look at verse 14. It says in verse 14, if any among you sick among you, let him call for the elders. I know that word elders, plural, of the church. Y'all see how the Holy Spirit used that language? I'm going to stop it. Y'all there? 5:14. Huh? are the elders of the church. But what church is he talking about? What church? He isn't all the churches, did he? The church, am I right? What church he talking about? The church that Jesus built, right? The church that he prayed for that kingdom to come, right? That will be done. See, for the elders, for the pastors, for the bishops, all the overseers, am I right? Of the church, amen. And guess what? A church can't have one pastor. It got to have a plural of pastors, amen. Am I right? You don't believe me? Go back to God's word. Type in elder, Google elder, any way you want to do it. Every time you find in the Bible, whether in the old and the new, it's always plural. You never use the word elder in the Bible, in the 66 books of the Bible, in a plural sense. Singular sense. It's always in a plural sense. But look at that verse one more time. Because I'm teaching. He said the elders of the church. See, it's in among you. Let him call for the elders of the church. That is that a united prayer. See, we need to pray together. Amen. Let him pray. That is, it's in among you sick. Let him call for the elders of the church. And then pray over. That is that we ought to pray together. And then verse 15 is called a prayer of faith. Look at verse 15. It says here, verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. And the Lord shall raise them up, and if he shall commit sin, they shall be forgiven. That is, question, how can you pray if it's not done in spirit and in truth, it's not done in the church, or not done in faith, can be a good prayer? Did you hear what I'm saying? See, you can't pray outside of faith. And faith only found in the church. Ephesians 4:4 says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, that one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's not but one faith. Faith is one belief. James 1:25 says, it is the perfect law of liberty. So listen to me. You can't pray in the faith outside the faith. You got to be in the faith to pray. See, you can't pray individually, or you can't pray collectively, or you can't pray unless you are in the faith. Amen. He said the elders of the church by faith. What faith? By faith is the book, the Bible. Amen. Because you can't pray outside God's will neither. Amen. Am I right? Go to Ephesians 4. Y'all looking at me funny. Right quick. Ephesians. All right? I want you to see what it says over here in the book of Ephesians. Y'all with me? All right? In the book of Ephesians. See, Ephesians chapter 5. Five. Let me preach. All right. He says, if a time say, wherefore be ye not unwise? See, but understand, see, what is the will of the Lord? So when we pray by faith, when we pray individually or collectively by faith, that is, in the church, see, number one, God's will is going to be done because you can't pray outside his will. Because we got to understand what is the will of the Lord. And the only way you understand what the will of the Lord is here, you got to have it up here.
Amen.
Amen. Am I right? See, what you may desire may not be God's will. Amen. If it can't be in the book, amen. Because God's not going to give you nothing, going to go against him, amen. Am I right? And then he says here, it got to be an intercessor prayer. Verse 5:16, he said, pray one for another. That is, that we are to pray for each other, for this is the part of the loving brethren and bearing one another's burden, amen. And then finally, it must be a fervent prayer. James 5:16, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A fervent prayer is marked by warm, deep feelings. That when you pray, don't pray out of one side and cuss me out the other side. Amen? Don't pray out one side and hate me out the other side. If you're going to pray, make sure you're sincere. Amen. If you're going to pray, make sure it's right. But guess what? If you're in the faith, you're going to be right anyway. Amen. Am I right? And you call yourself brother, it's going to be a fervent prayer anyway. Man must be righteous in order to have his prayers heard because they must be in the faith. And guess what, brother? That's why it's good to be in the church of Christ. Amen. In relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. And then Conditions of acceptable prayer. Conditions of acceptable prayer. All right? It must be in faith. Matthew 21, 22. Whatsoever you ask for in prayer, have faith. See, it must be done in faith. It must be done in accordance to the word. It must be done in humility. Here we go, James chapter 1. He said you got to submit to resist the draw, amen? To be humble in order to be lifted up. It got to be a prayer of reverence. Hebrews 12, 28 to 29. He said, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we must serve God, acceptable, look what he said, with respect and fear. With reverence and fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And what that means, if you don't do it right, or you do it in a phony way, or you do it in a way that's against God's word, God's going to get you anyway. Then it must be done through obedience, John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you desire, and it shall be done to you. It must be done with sincerity. Matthew 6, 5. He said, when you pray, you should not be like a hypocrite. That is, for they love to pray, stand in the synagogue, and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, that they have received their reward. Amen. And then might be a proud thanksgiving. I want you to go to Philippians 4 with me in verse 6 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. I want you to read that together. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. Because see, in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, I'm going to wait till you get there. He says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God will pass all understanding. Look what he says. He said he shall. Ain't that a blessing? Oh, it's a blessing to be saved today. Shall keep your minds, hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, when you do it right, that is through prayer, that is by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, everything going to be all right. And then finally, hey, there's hindrance to prayer. And the main one is just a plain old lack of faith. Because you can't pray if you don't have faith. Your wrong attitude. Amen. You got an unforgiving spirit. You walk up in here and you don't shake nobody's hand. Amen. You and your husband and wife fought for you, got here. Amen. And y'all still holding grudges. Amen. Well, you can't pray. Am I right? See, you got to forgive your brother before your father will forgive you. Amen. But you know, sometimes we church folks get funny, folks. You might as well tell the truth. Y'all got picks and choosers, amen. But we all supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ, am I right? If you got aught against your brother, leave your gift and go be reconciled, amen. If I've done something to you, leave and let's be reconciled and come back, amen. Because if you don't forgive, God ain't going to forgive you, amen. Folks say, I ain't spoke to my sister in 3 months, but you up in here trying to worship God in spirit and in truth. You better go find her. Straighten it out. Because if you don't forgive, God ain't going to forgive you. Amen. Pride, self-satisfaction, envy, insincerity, lack of concentration. Guess what? Sin in your own life. Well, sin is, God is not. Amen. See, if you in sin, you can't pray. Amen. Sin separates you from God. Amen. Improper motive, be seen of men. Selfishness, just acting for yourself. Just give it to me. Don't give it to John. Amen. You can't pray like that. Well, it's going to let me have that new car, but the rest of them Negroes, I mean, they don't need it. Amen. You can't pray like that. Amen. See, if you're going to be able to pray and worship God in spirit and in truth. So that's the reason why, brethren, when we come together on the first day of the week, the whole church, that church that Jesus built in one place, see, we come to commune. We come to participate. We come to assist. We come to share. How do we do it? We do it by singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, to teach and admonish one another. That is, to sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding, that we may have joy. We partake of the Lord's Supper to memorialize, to proclaim, to commune together. That is, because we are Christians. Amen. We lay by in store, not out of necessity, not out of grudgingly, but God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. You lay by in store because God has blessed you. Not that you're trying to pay him back, because you never can't pay God back. Amen. And then we pray. We pray because we have a right to pray. Amen. We pray without ceasing. We pray in order. In order to pray one for another, to pray together, amen. To pray because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Next week we'll do the last one, why we teach and why we preach, which is the fifth item of our worship, of what is acceptable worship. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you can become one today. You know the question I ask? Why not? Why not? The question I ask is why not? Why not? If you're here today, none of us know what death is. The Bible said life is like a vapor that appears for a little while, and then life vanishes away. How many times you got a phone call and say, did you know such and such a person that died? Did you know such and such a person just dropped dead and had a heart attack? I mean, how many phone calls you got like that? But life is like a vapor. We don't know what even this afternoon going to bring. But we do know right now, God is calling you. This is the invitation. This is the invitation. He inviting you to come. Come, all of you. Come, come, come. All you got to do when you come is believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. You got to be willing to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3 said, repent or you're going to perish. You must make that confession like the Ethiopian eunuch made. He said, see, here is water. He said, what does hinder me from being baptized? He said, you must, with all your heart, proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He made that confession, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then you must be buried with him in the watery grave of baptism. I can't open no mourner's bench, because it never was a mourner's bench. Paul, he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He was told to go into the city of Damascus, and it was told to him what to do. Guess what, folks? He tarried out 3 days. And finally, that preacher came to him by the name of Ananias. He said, why tarriest thou? He said, arise to be baptized to wash away your sin. Because you're not going to be saved till you're buried with him in baptism to rise to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it will make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we'll baptize you right now. Because the Bible says baptism does so also now save us. So if you're here today and you want to be saved, if you're here today and you want to be saved, if you're here today and you want to be a part of the church that Jesus built, not no man-made church, but his church. The church that you can read about in the Bible. The only one. Paul said, when I depart, grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock, speaking perverse doctrines to draw disciples after them. And the devil has done a masterful job teaching anything and everything, but can't be proven in the book. So what I tell you, examine yourself. And what you're doing can't be found in the book. You need to let it go and turn to Jesus' way. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It ain't but one way. One way. He told Adam and Eve one way. He told Cain and Abel one way. He told Noah one way. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. You go all the way through the 39 books of the Old Testament. He never gave man 2 ways. So what makes you think he's going to let you do what you want to do today? When God shut that door to the ark, Noah didn't shut it. God shut it. Only 8 people was in there. Noah, Miss Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives. and a pair of every living creature. But when God said it, people were hollering, crying, beating on it. Let me in. But Noah couldn't open it. Like when you die, and when you take that last breath, you're going to know where you're going to spend eternity. In hell. Did that what he said? He lifted up his eyes in pain and in torment. Luke 16. And he cried. Guess what? He prayed, but he prayed too late. He said, Father Abraham, let Lazarus dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. It's hot in hell, man.
Amen.
But you don't have to go there.
No, we don't.
So if you're here today, and you want to be baptized, you want to be saved, don't you put it off. Come right now. I got baptized on Thursday. I was a Baptist preacher, and I obeyed the gospel one Thursday. My wife and I both walked down both sides of the baptistry. I went down first, and she went down next. And we were buried with him in baptism. Alicia got baptized one midnight, didn't you, Alicia? One Saturday night, we had studied all that night, about 7 or 8 people. You remember that? Over on Candle Lane. At midnight, we went and found water, didn't we? And we baptized about 5 people that night, am I right? And she's still faithful. Oh, but London was a little bitty girl when I first met her. She about like her daughter. Or might be a little older when I first met her. But we're about the same age. And she's been faithful ever since then. And I can go on and on and talk about it. We all had to do the same thing. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I can't open no doors of the church. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, this is my last thing. He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you had crucified, both Lord and Christ. He said, when they heard this, they became pricked in their heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Some of y'all might be saying, what must I do? And the devil is telling you, Wait, till a little bit later. I'll do a little bit later. That devil is whispering into your ear. See, because the devil wants me to hurry up and quit. Some of y'all want me to hurry up and quit. Amen. But he's whispering to your ear. No. Wait till next Sunday. Wait, you need a little bit more study. You don't need no more what Jesus told you to do. He that believeth and is baptized. Do you believe that Jesus? So he's going to repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 47 says, praising God and having faith. You know what happened? The Lord asked you. Ain't nobody got to vote you in. Because you get voted in, you get voted out. Because the church don't belong to us, amen. Only the Lord can add you or subtract you, amen. And only way you're going to get subtracted when you sin. But thank God we got the blood, amen. Am I right? That when we get subtracted, we can get added back, amen. Am I right? It ain't got nothing to do when Aunt Sally met Harry, or whoever it may be. But anyway, if you're here, you need to respond. Come on right now as we stand there and sing.
Wash away my
sin. Is that one that will come to Jesus? Just